Wednesday, the 14th of November, Rabbi Shmuel Bowden, Mitzvah Lishmo.
Good morning, Rabbi Stein. Just as a hakdama, an introduction, most of you here are probably double my age, if not triple my age. I prefer if this is not a talk to you or talk at you, please participate, join in if you wish. We've reached the month of Kislev a few days ago. I'd like to start with the menorah. The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, there were two details that were unique by the menorah that you didn't find with the other kelim. Two details. One was mikshah. The menorah itself was made only mikshah out of one piece of gold. It wasn't many pieces of gold put together. One piece of gold, that's how the menorah had to be made. Mikshah. That's the first detail. Second detail is kosis. Kosis, that means the oil had to be 100% pure oil. Only the first drop of every olive was allowed to be used. So we have mikshah and we have kosis. Two details about the menorah that were unique. They only applied to the menorah as opposed to any of the other kelim. Why was this? Why was dafka the menorah? Why did the menorah have only these two halachas, these two details, mikshah and kosis? Today we'll try and work it through together. We'll try and get the answer. I'd like to start off with a beautiful Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, a famous Gemara, but a very difficult Gemara to understand. The Gemara says like this: Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma was ill, and Rabbi Chanina ben Terabiyim came to visit Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma. So the visitor was Rabbi Chanina, and the ill person was Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Chanina came to visit Rabbi Yosi. He comes in, and Rabbi Yosi says to him, Rabbi Chanina, I've been hearing rumors about you. I've been hearing things about you. He says, what? Shamati, that you're being, Ma'aseh, you're being a gathering, Kehillos for Yisrael, you're gathering, big gatherings in Klal Yisrael, teaching them Torah, with your Sefer Torah. Do you not know it's a Shas Hashma? Do you not know it's a time, it's a dangerous time, if you're caught, who knows what can happen? So Rabbi Chanina answers back to Rabbi Yosi, Nashamayim Yirachamu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have Rachmanis. So he turns around and Rabbi Yosi says to Rabbi Chanina, excuse me, I say to you Dvorim Shel Tam. I'm telling you words of Tam. I'm telling you words that make sense. And you answer me back, Nashamayim Yirachamu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have Rachmanis. What sort of answer is that? I just told you, if you're caught, it will be dangerous. It's Shas Hashma. What are you answering and saying, Min Hashemayim Yirachamu? And he says to him, Rabbi Yosi says to Rabbi Chanina, Tomo ani, I wonder, I will not be surprised if they take you, you Rabbi Chanina, with your Sefer Torah, and they burn you, the Romans will burn you with the Sefer Torah. Never, we know that's what happened at the end. Rabbi Chanina ben Terajim was one of the Azi Alevonim, one of the 10 great Tanoim that were killed, that we stay on Yom Kippur and we stay on Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Chanina was at the end Taka killed by the Romans together with the Sefer Torah. That's the first part of the Gemara. Then the Gemara continues. The next line, very interesting few lines. Rabbi Chanina turns round to Rabbi Yosi and says to him, tell me, Rabbi Yosi, tell me, Rebbe, do you think I'm a Ben Olam Abba? Do you think I, Rabbi Chanina, is a Ben Olam Abba? So Rabbi Yosi turns around and says to him, are you Ben Olam Abba? He says, tell me, have you got some special story to tell me? Tell me something very special about yourself. So Rabbi Chanina says to Rabbi Yosi, yes, I'll tell you a story about myself. Once, many years ago, Rabbi Chanina says to Rabbi Yosi, I had Mois Purim geld. I had a bit of Purim money, but it got mixed up with my money. And I wasn't sure which was my money and which was the Purim money. And I was machmir. I went to Chumrah. And I decided, listen, I wasn't sure which was which. I gave the whole lot to Purim. Oh, says Rabbi Yosi, that's what you did. Special story. You're a Ben Olam Abba. Yehei chelki b'chelkecha. You're a Ben Olam Abba. Straight to Olam Abba. two obvious kashas on this Gemara, two poshta questions. Question number one, very simple. What does he ask him? Am I ben oinam abor? Am I a ben oinam abor? He just said in a few lines earlier, he was ma'atzat kehilat v'yisroel, he gathered people together all over and teaching them Torah, and he goes and says, am I a ben oinam abor? And the second question is, why did Rav Yosi have to ask him, do you know a special story about yourself? And it comes up with Moed Purim, a small story about Moed Purim that got mixed up. He was a Tana Eliki. Rav Chanina was a Tana, one of the Azi Alavone. He had to find a small story? Two simple questions. Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, on this Gemara says the following pshat. Sometimes you can go around the world and you can see a Rosh Hashiva, a Mashkiach, Rabbonim, giving Shiurim, doing fantastic work. But at the end of the day, is it 100% Lishmo? Is it 100% Lishem Shemayim? Or is there a bit of, let's say, fulfillment, achievement, sipuk, covered, money, whatever it may be? Says Rav Shach on this Gemara. Rav Chanina, Enochanama, he was gathering together Klal Yisrael and teaching them Torah with the Sefer Torah. Wonderful. But was it 100% Lishmo? There's a certain amount of sipuk, certain amount of achievement. Was it 100% Lishmo? So he says to him, please tell me a special story about yourself. And he tells him a story about Moed Purim, a bit of money that was mixed up with his own money, and he was machmir. Nobody knew about that. It was betzina. It was quiet. It was at home. There was no noise. And that, he says, Rabbi Yehi said to Rabbi Chanina, Yehi chelki b'chalkecho. Straight to Olam Haba. The fact that you gave shiurim all around, that's not enough. This little story straight to Olam Haba. That's what Rav Shach says on his Gemara. And Rav Shach continues, and he says, I was very, very happy, because at the end I found that pshat. This pshat in the Gemara, I found the Rambam himself says this pshat in the Gemara. The Rambam. Where's the Rambam? The famous mission that we say at the end of many, end of learning, they say the whole summer, Chanani ben Akashi Oimer, Rotzak of the Shvorach, Lezakas Etz Yisrael, Lefichach, Hirbo Lahem, Torah O Mitzvah. The Rambam Pesha Mishnayas, for Rabbi Yanki's sake, at the end of Makkos, and says there, the Rambam says like this, on the Mishnah, what does it mean? Rotzak of the Shvorach, Lezakas Etz Yisrael, Akadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do what? Give many Tzchusim, Lezakas, to give many Tzchusim to Klal Yisrael. Lefichach, therefore, what did he do? How did he do? How was he marbez chusim? Hir bolahem Torah mitzvahs. He gave them many, many mitzvahs. Now there's an obvious kasha. The Rambam asked, what do you mean? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give many mitzvahs, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give many merits, many chusim, don't give many mitzvahs. Give 10, give 15, give 20. Why give 613? Tashver HaTorah, 613 mitzvahs? Why give so many? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be marbez chusim, as many chusim as possible, give Klal Yisrael 10, 15, 20, and they'll manage. They'll manage to keep the whole lot. Why give 613? That's the Rambam's question. Says the Rambam, a Moedek Yisrael, a fundamental point for life, for all, for Klal Yisrael. Rambam says like this. There are 613 mitzvahs, and everyone, all of us, have to keep all 613 mitzvahs. But every yid is mesugal, feels close, and is attached to a certain mitzvah. Everybody's different. You've got to keep all 613 mitzvahs. But everyone's got a certain mitzvah that he's been born with, that he's close to, he's attached to, and he's mesugal to. Says the Rambam, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had only given 10, 15, 20, there wouldn't be enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving Klal Yisrael an opportunity, 613 mitzvahs, to give every yid round Klal Yisrael an opportunity to feel close, attached to one particular mitzvah, take that mitzvah and work on it and become close to it. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives 613. Rotz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakrei Sets Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give many merits. Lefichach, how did he do that? Hir Golahem Torah Mitzvahs. He gave them many mitzvahs in order to give the opportunity to every yid, for every yid to become close to another mitzvah. And then he continues the Rambam. Says the Rambam, you should know, any yid who takes any mitzvah and does a mitzvah 100% nishmo, 100% for the right purpose, pure motives, quality mitzvah, that person goes straight. straight to Olam Haba. Even though you've got to keep all 613 mitzvahs. But if you take one mitzvah, and you take that mitzvah and keep it for, keep it lishma, you go straight to Olam Haba. That's what the Rambam says. Says the Rambam, where do I know this halacha from? Where do I know that if you keep one mitzvah totally lishma, you go straight to Olam Haba? Where do I know this from? Says the Rambam, from the Gemara of Ziv ben Taraji and Rav Yosi ben Kisna. That Gemara in Avodah Zarah, says the Rambam, have a look there, the story of Moed Purim, the story when the money got confused, mixed up, and he was machmir, you see from there, that if you keep one mitzvah lishma, you go straight to Olam Haba. So Rav Shach was very happy, his pshat on the Gemara he saw in the Rambam. With this, we can understand a very difficult era in Klal Yisrael. There was the era of Shoftim. Klal Yisrael had shook between Moshe Rabbeinu, between Yeshua, and then Shmuel Hanavi. There was the Pash, there was the whole Sefer of Shoftim. One of the Shoftim, as we all know, was the Vayra. Was the Vayra Eishes Lapidus. Was the Vayra Eishes Lapidus. We line this up there every year, Pash B'Shalach. There was one lady Shoftet B'Yisrael. I'm sure you all have the same problem. How is it? Was there no person at all, no man in all of Klal Yisrael at the time, no man that could be the leader of Klal Yisrael? The only person that could be the leader was a lady? The Vayra was the only person around to be the Shoftet? What do Chazal say? Chazal say like this. She used to make the wicks, the Vayra for the Beit HaMikdash, for the Menorah. She used to make the wicks and send those wicks with her husband to the Beit HaMikdash, in order for her husband to become influenced by the Hashpah in the Beit HaMikdash. How does this answer the question? How is it possible, again, how is it possible for the Vayra to be Shoftet B'Yisrael? There was nobody else in Klal Yisrael who could lead Klal Yisrael. So I once heard many years back from my Rosh Hashiva, Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapira, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he used to say like this, the Loshon in Chazal gives the answer. It doesn't answer the question completely, but it gives a partial answer. The Loshon of Chazal is like this. At, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Vayra, at kivant lahoir es beisi, you intended to light up my house, therefore you become the Shoftet B'Yisrael. At kivant lahoir es beisi, which means like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew, and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that her kavana to make the wicks and send it to the Beis HaMikdash, to light up the menorah, to light up the Beis HaMikdash, was totally and solely lishma. At kivant lahoir es beisi. Your only intention was to make my house light, to light up my house. There was no other intention at all. No ulterior motive. No sipuk, no achievement, nothing at all. Just lahoir es beisi. Like I said before, it doesn't answer the question completely. But because of this mitzvah that she did totally lishma, for no ulterior motives at all, she was zeichah to be Shoftet B'Yisrael. I'd like to share with you a story that occurred at the time of the opening of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. I'm not sure if anybody here was there at the time. We won't ask people their age. 1930. Okay? In the year 1930 was when the Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin was opened. Yeshiva Ramey Shapira, you all know Ramey Shapira was initiator of Daf Yomi. And the opening of this beautiful building, there are a few Talmidim still left on the Ravozne in Bnei Brak, is one of the Sheitz HaPleta, one of the Talmidim of Ramey Shapira. When this building was opened, Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, you can imagine all the Gedolim, all the Rabbonim and Klal Yisrael all came for this event. At the time, Ramey Shapira's Rebbe, who was the Chalkva Rebbe, came along as well, and he went over to the Navan. The Navan at the time was somebody called Shmuel Eichenbaum. He went over to Shmuel Eichenbaum and he said to him, Shmuel, listen here, the Chalkva Rebbe said, the fact that you gave, that you were Menadav the Migrash, the land, he donated the land for the yeshiva. The fact that you donated the land for the yeshiva, I'm not jealous. I'm not Makana. Many people who've got money, who've got wealth, are Menadav and they give and they donate buildings and donate money. That itself I'm not jealous of. You know what I'm jealous of? You must have done many years ago one mitzvah, 100% nishma. You must have done one mitzvah that was totally nishma, which Megalgin is Chus HaRedei Zakai, because of that mitzvah that you did, therefore you are Zoyche now to give the Migrash to the yeshiva. That's what the Chalkva Rebbe said to Shmuel Eichenbaum. And with this, of course, we can understand another difficult Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachos Daf Yizayin Amud Aleph, Noshim b'may zachin. A very strange Gemara. Noshim b'may zachin. Which means, women, the Gemara asks, why do they get schar in Olam Haba? Noshim b'may zachin. What sort of question is this? Noshim b'may zachin. Why do they get Olam Haba? Because they've got mitzvahs. Maybe we've got more mitzvahs, but women have got plenty of mitzvahs of their own, and they keep the Torah, the mitzvahs they've got to keep themselves. That's why they get Olam Haba. What do you mean, Noshim b'may zachin? What is the Gemara answer? The famous answer, because they stay at home and they wait for their husbands and they wait for their children coming home from Torah, from learning, from davening. That's why they get Olam Haba. What sort of question, what sort of answer is this? Why they get Olam Haba? Because they stay at home waiting for their children, waiting for their husbands. That's why they get Olam Haba. They get Olam Haba because they keep their mitzvahs that they're meant to keep. But not many people know the Gemara beforehand. That part of the Gemara everyone knows. The Gemara just beforehand says the following. The Lashon of the Gemara is, K'doyla ha'atocha she'tichon HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'noshim yoyse min ha'anoshim. That the Gemara says. The schar that women get is greater than men. K'doyla ha'atocha she'tichon HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'noshim. They get greater schar. And that the Gemara asks, they get greater schar. Why do they get greater schar? Noshim b'mayz, it doesn't mean why do they get schar in Mabor. Of course they get schar, but why do they get more schar? Why do they get the greater schar? Noshim b'mayz zachyon, why do they get the greater schar? On that the Gemara answers, you know why? Because they stay at home, waiting for the... It doesn't mean just because they're waiting. It means like this. The men who do the mitzvahs themselves have got a certain amount, they're involved in the mitzvahs, have got a certain amount of sipuk, achievement, fulfillment, and you're involved in the mitzvah. Much easier to do the mitzvah. The women are not involved in the mitzvah. They're waiting at home for their children, for their husbands, quietly, but sinner. Nobody knows about that. That's lishma. That's doing the mitzvah lishma. And because of that, the Gemara says, "Noshim b'may zachin." Why do they get more than the men? Is because they do it quietly at home lishma. In the same way, we can understand. There's another Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara says, by the halachas of what does it say? By sukkahs, shluche mitzvah, people who are sent agents of mitzvahs, who go from place A to place B to bring, let's say, a knife, the example for the bris milah or a shofar or a lulav. Somebody brings a mitzvah, brings something from A to B. The Gemara says, the Gemara's loshen is ein lechachoviv lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishliach mitzvah. Ein lechachoviv. There's no one loved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kishliach mitzvah. Why is that? Nobody loved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a shliach mitzvah. Nobody. Again, the same point. A shliach mitzvah is the one who takes the knife or the shofar or the lulav from place A to place B. He himself is not involved in the mitzvah. The person who's involved in the mitzvah has a certain amount of achievement, has a certain amount of fulfillment, a sipuk. Mashiach and the people who take the lulav or take the shofar from place A to place B. They haven't got that involvement in the mitzvah. It's done totally the shema, for no ulterior motives at all. Because of that, the Gemara says, "Ein lecha chaviv lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishliach mitzvah." Many years back, not as far back as 1930, but that's I think about 50 years ago now, there was the Asian flu that went round Great Britain, and there was an epidemic that went round, and it arrived in Gateshead. It arrived just before Rosh Hashanah. Those of you who were there or those of you who are around will remember. It arrived in Gateshead, that sort of time, just before Rosh Hashanah. And people were very unwell, wasn't deathly, but people were very unwell with it, and they were in bed. It came to Rosh Hashanah that year. Nobody, very, very few people were there in davening. There was just about a million in the yeshiva, just about a million in the shul. Most people were in bed with this flu. By the time it came to Shabbat Shuvah, people were feeling better already. And they were able to come to shul, and they came to the Shabbat Shuvah Drosha. And the Shabbat Shuvah Drosha was given at the time by the Alter Gate to the Rav, who was Shakovitsky. He got up at the Shabbat Shuvah Drosha and he said like this. You're probably all wondering, why is it that we here in Gateshead got this Asian flu, this epidemic, but just by Rosh Hashanah? Why can it come by Tisha B'Av or another time of the year? Why Rosh Hashanah? So he said like this, he said, every year in shul, You have the paroya, the white paroyches, you have everything white, the kittles, the chazan, the crying, your friends round you. There is so much to be ma'ori you. This year at home, you had nothing at all. You had your beds and yourselves. That's all you had. You were at home, you davened what you could. Said the Rav at the time, however you daven this year at home, that's really how you daven every year. Every year you have a service from Mechut. You have many things to be ma'ori you, to encourage you to daven. But the way how you daven this year at home, that amount of lishma that you had at home, that's really the amount of lishma you have every year in your davening. Now, you may feel these are very high madrigas, these are madrigas for great gedolim, great rabbonim, not for ourselves. But the truth is that Rambam is something that the Rambam that says that one mitzvah to do lishma, that itself is such a revelation. People think, of course you've got to keep all 613 mitzvahs, and of course you've got to try your best to keep all 613, but that Rambam is a revelation. One mitzvah, even if a person keeps one mitzvah lishma, totally, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows which, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows whether it's lishma or not, but that one mitzvah you keep gets a person's Olam Haba. I'd just like to read out to you Loshna Mesidus Hashorim. Those who've got time afterwards can have a look in the middle of Tahara. There the Mesidus Hashorim talks about doing something totally lishma, and he says like this. He says, of course if someone has a bit of a mixture, mostly lishma but a bit low lishma, a little bit, of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give schar, and Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekapeach schar kol birya, of course you'll get schar for what you do. But his Loshna is like this. Even though this little issa, that means the bit lo lishma, is bottle barois, al koponim hamaasesha tarovis kazeh the seichai, this little bit of a mixture of lo lishma within it, toile gamra einenu, it's not fully pure. So he compares and he says, just like by karbonus, just like with flour, kihine, kishem she'ein oile agaba mizbeash lemato. Just like by the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdosh, you could only bring Soiles, Nakia, Menupa. You could only bring flour that was pure, that was sieved, B'shloish Etzrei Nofa, by 13 sieves, Shekvar Toile Gamri. Say in the same way, says the Sitzah Shorim, Kach I Efsha Lalit Arutsoi Mizbechoi Ho'elyoin. You can't, a person themselves can't bring only Me'avodis Gakeo Ashleima Mubcheres, Ela Hamubcho Shebamasim Atoil. It's got to be the same as the flour in the Beis HaMikdosh, says the Sefer Shorim. It's got to be 100% pure. In the same way as the flour has got to be 100% pure, so has the person's avoda, Torah and mitzvah, got to be 100% pure. Getting back to our questions on the menorah, so we asked two questions. Question number one: why has menorah got that detail of mikshot? And question number two: why that detail of kosis? Why Daska the menorah has these two details? And the answer is like this. Every single vessel, every keli in the Beis HaMikdosh represented and corresponded to something else. We know the menorah corresponded to Torah and mitzvah. Like the Pasuk says, Kineir mitzvah v'Torah oir. The menorah corresponded and represented Torah and mitzvah. And we've just said just now, every mitzvah and Torah has got to be done in Shema 100% with pure motive, with quality, and therefore, of course, the menorah had to be miksha and kosis. The menorah represented Torah and mitzvah had to be 100% miksha and 100% kosis. Pure itself, pure gold, and then the oil had to be pure as well. In a few weeks' time, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to be singing Yevonim Nikvatu Alai, and there we say Yevonim Nikvatu Alai, Zabi Mechashmanim, Ufod Tuchemis Megdolai, Betimu Kalashmanim. Has anybody ever wondered why is it that the Yevonim came in and they were matama, they made all the oils impure? Why did they do that for? Why did they not just come in and break all the jugs? Come into the Beis HaMikdash, take all the jugs, and break it all. Why did they make the jugs of oil impure? The answer is poshut. You just said just now, Klal Yisrael stands for purity. Klal Yisrael stands for quality. The Yevonim knew to come into the Beis HaMikdash and smash everything up. Not a big deal. Anybody can do that. But Klal Yisrael stood for purity, for quality. They came along with Timu Kol Hashmanim. They knew that Klal Yisrael stood for purity, for quality. They came along and made each jug of oil impure. They knew how to break Klal Yisrael. To break Klal Yisrael, it wasn't enough just to break the jug. The way how to break Klal Yisrael was to make each jug impure. But Timu Kol HaShemanim. Just to make a recap for the moment, just to go over what we've said, we asked the question about the menorah, the two questions, mikshah and kosis. We brought that very special Gemara, Chanina ben Taradion and Rav Yosi ben Kisma. The pshat in the Gemara from Rav Shach, it's got to be lishma. The Mois Purim story was one little story, but it wasn't little, it was solely lishma. And the Rambam Pesach Mishnayis explains the Mishnah, Rav Chaim Rakashi Oymer. And then we brought the Vayra Ish Lapidos to explain why the Vayra became Shepetit B Yisrael. And then the story of Shmuel Eichenbaum, the Chotzke Rebbe, who said that he must have done one mitzvah many years before Megalgin Chutzal De Zakai, and that's why he was Zeicha to be Menazer this Migrash. And then the Gemara about Noshim B'mai Zachyon, why are Noshim Zeicha to more? The Gemara said, Gedoyla Avtocha, they get more than men. And then we said, explain the Gemara with Shluchi Mitzvah. Why Shluchi Mitzvah? Einach Chaviv. There's no one loved by Kodesh Baruch Hu more than Shluchi Mitzvah. Then we brought the story of the Alter Gates thereof, when the epidemic came to Gates on Rosh Hashanah. And now we've answered these questions on Mikshah and Kosis, and also explained the Timbu Kol HaShemanim. Just to finish off, it may sound very difficult, it may sound a lot, even to do one Mitzvah Lishma, solely Lishma. On that, the same, have a look at Mr. Tesharim there, he's very marach in the middle of Sahara, and he explains there that, of course, the best way of doing a mitzvah lishma, of learning lishma, of doing mitzvah lishma, is to be mechin, hachana. Hachana is the most important thing. Most of us run into mitzvahs, run into davening, and whatever it may be, we don't prepare ourselves. If we would have the time and we would sit down, in the Mishnah it says, Chassidim are showing them, they used to spend an hour preparing every tefillah, an hour before, an hour during, an hour after. We haven't got the time to do that, but at least a bit of hachana, a bit of preparation. When it comes to Lulav and Esrik, when it comes to Shofar, when it comes to any mitzvah at all, Kiddush on Friday night, whatever mitzvah may be, if a person prepares themselves before mitzvah with learning about the mitzvah, thinking about the mitzvah, thinking how they will do the mitzvah, think how the mitzvah can relate to them, what the mitzvah can do to themselves during their lifetime, if a person would prepare and get themselves ready beforehand, these mitzvahs would, all mitzvahs would be much easier, it would be a lot easier to do the mitzvah Lishma. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we all be Zeicha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu help us to what we daven on Shabbos. We say on Shabbos three times, four times, V'tayah libeinu la'avtecha be'emes, which means V'tayah, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'tayah libeinu la'avtecha be'emes, which means of course to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lishmo, L'shem Shemayim, for the right purposes. We hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us to serve Him with true quality and with pure motives. Shkoyach.